Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 159. I am the host, Will Wilson, and with me this week is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And Matt Sakuraka Gilman.
Oi, oi.
Hello.
Oi.
Welcome back to the podcasting booth.
Well, thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Oh, good.
Unless you're rubbish, at which point, you know.
Bad. That doesn't make any sense because I'm still here. So.
Yeah, well, it's in the contract, unfortunately. anyway, has everyone had a very good week?
Everyone had a very good week?
Yes.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like it started to me, but I guess it's... Well, I guess actually it's Friday.
It's, well, yeah, in podcast limbo time. It's actually Thursday.
It's really Thursday. But it doesn't feel like Thursday. It feels about Monday to me. I'm not really woken up this week.
It feels like next Monday to me.
Matt's already in the future. Yeah. I'm still a little bit weirded out because I went to Paris for 2 days earlier this week. So I haven't quite got back into the flow. So it feels like a Tuesday for me.
Well, if you all get married while you're meant to be working, well...
What?
If you all get married while you're meant to be working, these romantic trips to Paris.
Well, yes. It is as they say. Merci. I did say a bit of French.
What did you say?
I said merci.
Yeah, that's usually what people say to you, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they scream it. They don't really say it. I said we, as in we're going to the pub. Is there an English pub nearby? And there was.
It was.
Yeah, we went to an English pub. It was around the road from where we, from a restaurant.
And what are English pubs in Paris like?
Got served by a very nice lady from Finchley.
Oh dear.
And we had there was like a microbrewery. There was like 12 real ales on.
Yeah.
It's actually quite nice. The Check ales quite nice. I think it was called the Frog and Princess. And then I sort of realised after about an hour in the pub that it was frog. And I was thinking, oh, I see. Because they had like frog menu and stuff like this. I was like, oh, I see. See what you did there. Anyway, yeah, so we went there. It was fun. Right. Enough of that. Let's go on to the news.
News!
Right, first up in the news this week, let's go with, I'm just going to say a statement. Android is better than iOS. Discuss. That's what, well, he didn't say that exactly, but Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, has claimed that the Android OS, let's get his direct quote. My primary phone is the iPhone. I love the beauty of it, but I wish it did all the things my Android does. I really do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the difference between the two, isn't it? People like iPhone because they want it to work. So, you know, it's like the Windows of the phone kind of group. And then Android is the Linux because it's the one that everyone can fiddle about with. So if you're someone like him that likes fiddling with things in a technical level... you're going to like Android, aren't you? Because it's a little playground for you, whereas iOS is completely closed off.
Well, yeah, but he also goes on to say that I have a lower success rate with Siri than I do with the voice built into the Android, and that bothers me.
Siri is rubbish. It is rubbish.
I don't have a 4S.
I've used it on other people's, and every time it just leads to hilarity. I've not used the one on Android, but...
It didn't even get my accent right, to be fair, and I think I pronounce most of my words correctly in terms of Queen's English.
Was it you who, what was that app on Windows Phone for speaking? Was it you who brought that up, or was it someone else? There's an app on Windows Phone that tries to be like Siri, ask Ziggy. The actual thing is rubbish because all it does is search the web and brings up pages with essentially their source code on the screen, which is pretty useless. But the speech recognition on it is amazing. You can say anything and it gets it. That's impressive.
You know what it doesn't do, though? Play guitar. Which I think is quite ironic.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yeah.
I don't see what you're doing. What?
Ziggy plays guitar?
Oh, Ziggy.
Anyway, yeah, so he does go on to say that it's a bit trickier than iOS. And basically go on to make the point that you just said. If you're willing to do the work to understand it a little bit, well, I hate to say it, but there's more available in some ways.
Yeah. It's for fiddlers, isn't it? Android is for fiddlers. Put that in a quote.
I'll quote that. Yeah. I'm going to tweet that now. Right. Yeah. So, well, I agree with you there in a way. Actually, to be fair, the only thing I miss on iOS that Android does have, in my own experience, is tethering. That's pretty much it. Which you can do if you jailbreak your phone. So.
Does iPhone not do that?
Not off the no. Well, my one no. But Windows Phone doesn't do it either, so I can't use the Windows Phone to do
it. Yes, it does.
Does it?
Yes, you fool. Honestly, with Mango.
I haven't tried it with Mango.
Very good, actually. I've used it on the train. Yeah.
I'm chucking out my Xperia Play then. I use that instead.
It's just in the settings. Internet sharing.
All right. Fine. Rub it in.
I'm doing it right now, in fact, just to rub it in your face.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Ah, get it out of my face. Anyway, so yeah, I doubt a lot of our readers will agree with Wazzy's statement. But listeners. Anyway, let's move on from a controversial subject and move on to another. Namco Bandai Games, to give them their full title, has waded in to the free-to-play or freemium argument. The senior VP for Europe, Oliver Comte, has gone on record to say that free-to-play games can't be high quality. We need to put a certain value on certain work. When you're a big company, you can't take risks too quickly. You can't make a change just because there's a fashion for a couple of years. You want there to be there in 20 or 30 years. Speaking to industry gamers, it's been a bit of a big week for the old freemium and free-to-play. Should we do what the difference is between the two? Because we had a big old discussion about this earlier. We basically agreed that free-to-play includes ad-supported, freemium, and all the other free game models, whilst freemium is a subset of that. So we're going to use that word interchangeably for the purposes of clarity.
Or in clarity. In
clarity is not a word.
Clarity
is definitely a word. I heard it on a skincare advert. Yeah, well, we posted up a debate about freemium earlier on this week because, of course, there's been quite a few controversial titles released in the last few months. Theme Park and Dungeon Hunter 3 spring to mind straight away, but also this new one by Gameloft released last week, Urban Crime, which you ripped to pieces on the podcast last week. So if you missed that, it's well worth a listen.
Review incoming.
Review incoming. So again, it's that sort of issue. Can free-to-play games be good quality, though? I think this is the question that Namco's posing. They're saying no, but can they?
Of course they can. And in a couple of years, they'll be doing it. So it's nonsense. I tell you, what we were talking about when we had the debate was what I kind of think is that a lot of developers misunderstand that if you say something's free, then people will jump on it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they therefore then want to go and spend money inside it. People just like things that are free. I think it's going to take a while before developers and publishers understand the different types of consumer. There are some that would willingly pay for in-app purchases, and there are some that actually just want to get as much as they can for free and get really annoyed when then they're asked to charge at a later date. So it's a difficult thing, but I generally think that in a few years time, maybe longer, It'll end up in games being better, because everything will go this way, not just on mobile. I think in general, eventually everything will go this way, in that you kind of break up the game and you pay for it in different installments and so forth, or you know, certain levels are locked off. That it would mean that games have to be better, because if you don't get someone on board straight away, they will go somewhere else because they can. It's not as if, you know, when you buy something for 40 quid or even 5 quid, you're kind of invested in it, and you think, well, I've got to keep playing this because I've paid this money out.
Well, some games, some of the greatest games don't really get going till quite a few hours after the start. I mean, I'm talking big releases here rather than mobile releases. But
I don't necessarily mean they have to be, you know, like you have to have all the action crammed in the first few minutes. But I mean, you can tell when a game is, you can generally tell when a game is going to be good or not from the start. You know, even if it's a slow burn or even if it's, you know, some big adventure that, you know, there's a reason why you carried on playing in the first place in games like that. So I don't think that changes, but I do think it will eventually lead to better games. I think the problem is everyone just assumes now, because developers and publishers don't really know what they're doing, that it has to be a game, a social game from Facebook, or it has to be, you know, something about something aimed at women, which, you know, is kind of condescending in the first place. But I think that it's going to take many a year. It's an entirely new thing. I mean, we've had the industry that's actually survived on people paying 40, 50, 60 quid for games. And suddenly, in the last year or two, now we've got this thing where you give it away. And it's going to take a long time, I think, before developers actually understand why they're doing that.
Well, it sounds more like you're advocating shareware, that old business model from the mid-90s, mid-early 90s, where you give away the first episode for free and then ask for money for the next parts of the game, or part of the game in the case of shareware.
I think the thing with digital is that it will allow people to do all kinds of things. So this isn't, you know, it's essentially going to revolutionise how we pay for how developers monetize.
It'll probably mean the end of certain types of genre, in my opinion.
I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, how are you going to monetize Civilization, for instance? I mean, yeah, that's the sort of game you can't really... I mean, you could remove all Civilization types except for one and then pay for the extras, which is basically what they did with Civ 5, if I'm being quite brutally honest. But other than that, I mean, it's not exactly a sort of game. And it's the same thing with anything which doesn't work on a level-based structure, really.
One of the problems at the moment is that, like, it used to be that a game had to be fun. Like, fundamentally, the game had to be fun for it to actually be successful. Whereas now, because of the freemium thing, because it's in flux, it doesn't necessarily you don't necessarily have to make a genuinely good game for it to take off, as long as it's free, because we're still in that early stage where just having a free game is enough, you know, almost.
They'd argue, though, and I've heard this argument many times in conferences, the developers argue that because people are paying, they're having fun. Now, this is where my comment on that debate comes in, because I don't think, because a lot of the people that say that as justification for freemium, their games are the Farmville type games, where actually they're not paying because they're having fun, they're paying because they're having to wait. And waiting, intrinsically, is not fun. Otherwise, we'll all be jumping for joy when we wait.
The other thing is, I mean, if paying for something means you're having fun playing it, then surely they would all be paying for it. We'd all be paying for the freemium things. But we know that only like 4 or 5% of people that play freemium games actually end up paying for anything. So that means only 5% of people are having fun, if paying equates to having fun playing it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But it's basically just a big old mask and a big moral justification in the way to say, like, well, it's okay, guys. We're not actually businessmen or accountants. We're game developers because they're all having fun. And I think it's a bit too much of an excuse to me. It's sort of trying to justify it.
I think that is one of the things maybe that gets on that developers aren't comfortable with, because in the olden days, you know, a lot of this stuff would be handled by the publisher, so even the price would be determined, and they wouldn't even have to think about that. You know, they could just think that they were created something. Whereas I think now, because publishers, you know, developers are publishers half the time on markets like the iPhone, they're now having to think about how they're making money from this. And you've had a couple of years where a lot of them just haven't made any. You know, they kind of realise that you have to have a bit of a business head if you're going to survive. And now a lot of them perhaps are uncomfortable with the fact that they, you know, have to break down their games to get into what monetize and what doesn't, because, you know, that's the business they're in. But I just think the argument that I heard from Papaya at Liverpool was that you'll still get the big brands, the big names that can charge 40, 50 quid outright, because people will pay for that because they love those games or whatever. But I think you're right in that will be a minority in like the years to come, because there are a few franchises now, I think, which warrant that kind of hype. And I think most, to take away the risk, I think, is the biggest thing that the digital offers, in that you can let people play for free for a certain amount of time. And they take
I think there's that certain fear as well from especially big game publishers in the console sphere, at least. I'm not so sure. I mean, well, there's still a few that are holding out, but most of the big publishers in the mobile area are embracing freemium at the moment. But there must be that fear that if people buy your really hyped up game, which you spent millions on, then you've got them straight away. But if they don't, but you don't actually know how many of them actually like that game. Whilst if you gave away a portion of that for free, it might be the case that like 50% of your customers who would have bought that game at a set price now know they wouldn't like it. So they don't spend the money. I mean, there's not many game demos being released anymore. I mean, back in the 90s and the early 21st century, you'd used to get a game demo with every release pretty much. But nowadays it's limited to sort of like two maybe a week. Or yeah, like Kinect titles, you get them all the time. But I mean, I'm talking Xbox here. There's barely any.
Well, yeah, when Xbox first launched, that was one of the innovative things that, well, rather 360, that you could virtually every game that came out had a demo before. And, you know, a lot of the time, I mean, I think the way they've got to think about it is that a lot of the demos, or even the multiplayer demos, think of things like Call of Duty. Modern Warfare was the hit it was, the first one, because it had that multiplayer demo up. And everyone went nuts about it. And, you know, that the success they have now is built on that. They gave it away for free. It was on there for, I can't remember how many weeks. And the world went nuts for it. And, you know, everything that's come since has been down to that day. So I think if you look at it in that way and think about making a portion of your game like a demo, but free, then you can use it in the same way. You can still get that audience and build the same hype. It just has the rest of the game tagged onto it as well.
It requires a good game to actually
get that's the other thing.
That's all right though, isn't it? Because if all the only people who end up complaining about freemium are those who are making crap games, then you know.
Yeah, no, that'd be a perfect world.
It's just going to take many years, and it's going to take ages before people actually know why they're doing this.
We had a very strong response from readers to the debate. I think pretty much everyone was in favour of our opinions. but yeah, it is still very much not just a divisive. I think it's more an explosive. I'm upgrading it to explosive topic, especially among those who, like us, have been playing games for many years. It's strange. It's going to be how... Well, I've got an interview coming up on site soon with Gameloft. I need to go through it. Oh, it's going to take a long time. It's quite a long interview. Which puts out their point of view, because they've, of course, been releasing quite a number of freemium games to not overly brilliant response from the general public. And they talked to me earlier this week. That was why I was in Paris, to try and lay out their point of view, which should be interesting. I don't want to spoil any of it yet, though, because... I want it to go up on site first.
We should talk about that on the podcast on the week you put that up, really.
Yeah.
Well, but you said to look me, out it for sounds it. Quite interesting.
Look out for it coming up on site soon. Moving on, though, let's go on to something a little bit more lighthearted. Well, it's not really lighthearted, actually, when I think about it, because it mainly involves a deceased man's family. But
that classic. <yeah.
laughs> You've heard that one before. Steve Jobs' tribute doll, that creepy, sort of very lifelike looking doll of Steve Jobs wearing his jeans, his black polo neck sweater and his glasses, and his One More Thing keynote backdrop. It's been cancelled. Unfortunately, the maker InIcons said it's halted the sale and production, and it will refund all customers who had placed down and pre-order. Bit of a shame, really. I know our friend at Mobile Pi, Will Luton, was asking about it.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
That's weird, because I've got Will Luton doll, so.
But that one's got pins stuck in it. No, I'm only joking. Yes, it's been cancelled, but because of legal pressure, or more rather, probably just moral pressure from Steve Jobs' family.
You know, one of these that they have made will leak.
Oh yeah, definitely. It'll go on eBay. It'll sell for thousands.
Several million.
Wow.
They didn't actually start selling them then.
No, they didn't. They accepting pre-orders.
Oh, okay.
And obviously they had, I guess they had started production, because it says they halted the sale and production. So there must be quite a few of them hanging around.
So someone's got one somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Just like.
Oh, almost certainly. I mean, it's not actually that bad a figure. I can see quite a few like Apple fans buying it. I mean, it's quite expensive, but it looks great.
And then it brought out new outfits, and then it like a Hawaiian getaway, what they bring out, and a girlfriend, and all this stuff.
Never remove it from the box, clearly. Just put it up there next to Boba Fett on the shelf.
And then you'd have, like, shaving fun Ken. You know, you'd have one where you could shave.
Oh, wow, that'd be brilliant. You could get a playhouse with the Apple HQ, or even better, like, the first Apple store with the staircase. Anyway. Yeah, so we can't get any more. Oh, well.
There goes your Christmas present.
Not again. What's up next? Oh, yes. I can't believe this. What about this? Look, Namco Bandai, them of the three to play comment, has released a Blades of Fury ripoff onto the App Store. Yeah, no, they haven't released a Blade of Fury ripoff. That's Gameloft's game. They've instead released classic Dreamcast fighter Soul Calibur, or Soul Calibur, as they like writing it, because they put it all in one word, and it really annoys me. Rich has changed my headline to Punches, but I had Slices its way onto the New Zealand App Store originally. Never mind. It makes more sense with the slice. Because it is about... It's the old Dreamcast game where you take control of a variety of fighters, 19 of them, and you use their swords and blades and various other sharp implements, including a barbed whip, if I remember Poison Ivy's weapon, to slice up your enemy. It's a one-on-one fighter from 1998.
Poison Ivy?
Oh, Poison Ivy, Ivy. Surely just Ivy. I don't know. I get my Batman and my Soul Calibur muddled up.
I'm crap at beam-ups. I used to love Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur was good.
It just looked amazing. It didn't really matter what you were doing, to be honest. It just looked... It was the best, kind of the most kind of expressive, if you like, beat-em-up around at the time, in that it was just kind of the screen was always alive. It was a good way to show off.
Only a few years previously, it was Virtua Fighter, which was the most good... Well, I say good-looking, but it was one of the first, you know, 3D beat-em-ups, and it looked terrible compared to Soul Calibur. Yeah. Soul Calibur's graphics are like a generation... Well, it was generation above, but, you know, it's a proper leap in graphical quality.
Still burns.
So, yes, but there's six modes. You know, the normal stuff, arcade, battle, time attack, survival, and evil extra survival mode. But the big news, I guess, is that its price tag is rather high.
Oh, yeah. That is.
For a game that is... Not. It's about, well, it's getting on to 15 years old. It's priced at £8 or $12.
I mean, it's interesting that, like, you think about it. They're doing one for consoles at the moment, aren't they?
Soul Calibur 5, yeah.
I thought this would have been a good opportunity, if you priced this cheap, to almost use the iPhone to educate those on consoles you haven't played.
I savvy. Make it free. Yeah. You ran out of energy. Do you want to buy more energy to fight the next round?
Yeah, like, you know, essentially turn your iPhone into a coin up, really, can you? Just, if you're dead, you're dead.
That's what Capcom tried to do with their Capcom Arcade app, of course.
How did that go?
I don't know. I don't think it went that well. But then again, they had really old and quite crap games on it, other than Street Fighter 2. But they only let you play for like twice before you have to buy more coins to put into the machine. Mm. Or you could just play Street Fighter 3. No, Street Fighter 4 on the download that for a fiver. Anyway. Yeah, so there it is. It's up. But my big question to my panel is what other Dreamcast games should we be praying for in the future? And what other Dreamcast games would you pay £8 for, if any?
Oh, you know, I would play. Well, not on a touchscreen, actually. I mean, in a way,
it has to be a touchscreen.
How will this work on a touchscreen? I'm not sure.
I'm
still surprised. Choo Choo Rocket hasn't come out, has it?
It's come out. Yeah, it's already come out.
I was so excited about it, I didn't buy it. So,
I'm personally looking forward to seeing Code Veronica. Hey, it would actually be good. I mean, the awkward controls would translate perfectly because they're already awkward, so it doesn't really matter how accurate the touchscreen is.
What about Crazy Taxi? Is that out?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, should be. Surely that's out.
Should be.
Bet you it's
You're doing a quick search now.
We are. I think we're all doing it. Let's see who wins.
Things like if Super Monkey Ball is out and stuff like that, you wonder why.
It's not out. It's not out. It's out on mobiles, as in Java.
Oh, yeah. it really should be. It really should be.
Power Stone 2.
Although I used to like the first Power Stone. That was quite good.
Power Stone 2 was a great party game.
Again, that was another one where you could actually be rubbish, but it would just look amazing on the screen. It looked like
exactly,
you were doing
really
well. But, well, other things for the...
MSR? MSR
no,
would
that would
easy.
Work.
Ah, oh, it would work. Accelerometer. I don't mind accelerometer controls, you see.
Yeah, but it looks so glorious. You couldn't. I still think even now it wouldn't look as good as it looked. And then if you don't. I mean, I'm looking at the screenshots of Soul Calibur here, and it doesn't look obviously.
But listeners, MSR is Metropolitan Street Racer from Bazaar, who Street went on to do. It was the precursor to Project Gotham.
I've said awful names.
Project Gotham's a terrible name. I like MSR. MSR's cool. It sounds like a drug.
That sounds cool. Yeah,
it
had a really good app as well. But
you want a bit of MSR? I got a few pills here. Yeah, man. Kudos, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway,
as long as they let Shenmue die, then I'll be fine. Remember Shenmue?
We had Shenmue Rage last week. No, the week before was it?
Yeah,
didn't
we
it?
Had
Did
we had a big old Shenmue.
I wasn't here for that
face off. Where? But you were listening.
Of course.
bizarrely, that debate, considering I live and die for Shenmue, was the one I was on the other side, wasn't it? I was saying, let it die.
because they said they're not going to make any more.
Of course they're not.
Yeah, so don't tease us.
In a way, it's much, as I said, well, you probably didn't make it aware, but in a way, it's much better that no one ever touches it again because it's this thing that's half finished. It's, you know, has a mystique about it now.
It's like Star Wars. Before
everything went wrong. Yeah, right.
anyway, let's move on quickly because we're running out of time on the news front.
Time limit.
Yeah,
I've got a time limit. It's a mental time limit. How boring are my co-hosts? Well, I'm pretty boring. No. Right. Get fit or die trying. Well, actually, no. Get fit by playing a game on your iPad and sticking it on your cycling machine.
Oh, this is interesting. How does this work?
Well, how does it work then? Simply place your iPhone. I like Ant's like second paragraphs. They're almost always questions. Simply place your iPhone or iPad on your exercise bike.
You're not saying the rest.
And the inbuilt accelerometer will read the vibrations caused by your vigorous activity.
Really? Is that a particular bike you have to use?
No, it doesn't say that. No. You see, I've already spotted a flaw in this plan. It's probably going to fall off your bike.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is what I was thinking. I really just will not know that I spend most of my life on an exercise bike and having you search.
He doesn't have electricity. You see, he needs to cycle to keep his computer going.
Having searched for numerous ways to try and keep myself entertained while I'm slogging away on it, I can safely say that even with the one I have now, which has a massive screen. You'd need a serious amount of blue tack to get an iPad to sit on that.
My favourite ever rowing machine had a rowing game on it. I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but that just that simple addition of a very simple rowing game made me use it for so much longer than a normal rowing machine, even when I was knackered. I wanted to go further.
At last year's Google I/O or whatever they call it, there was an exercise bike that was coming out which you could plug into Android phones that would then turn the screen of this exercise bike into a kind of race.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I mean, yeah. I thought it was really inventive. I'd have used that, but obviously, I've never seen one. But this looks. But why? I can see on the video for this one, it's looking at the person's face.
Yeah, well, it's got advanced head tracking.
Why does it need to see your face?
Because you can move from side to side by moving your head.
Oh, God, so you just like a complete nutcase on your exercise.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
And final news this week. It's a very brief one, really, because I can't reveal any more. Annoyingly. But, Gameloft is still working on an Unreal 3 powered game, and it'll be arriving either in the first quarter or maybe the second quarter of this year. It was originally first quarter, but then they told me, actually, no, it might be delayed, so put second quarter as well. So, yeah, I can't say anything more about it. I've seen it.
Is it called Weirs of Gore? Or
you? Actually, the title hasn't been decided yet.
Tunmill Rornament, or...
No.
I'm running out.
It's annoying, because I want to say more about it. But it said, that's it. That's all I can say.
They did an Unreal Engine game before, didn't they?
March of Heroes, yeah. They scrapped it.
Oh, of course they did, yeah.
It was too similar, apparently, to...
One else's game?
No, to their own game, Modern Combat. Which is weird, because Modern Combat's quite similar to another game. Trying to remember what it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So that's all.
It's not like Gameloft would ever copy one of their own games anyway, is it? So...
No, that would be an urban crime. Anyway, let's move on to the new releases roundabout of new releases. This week we've got unstoppable jazz that affects our soul groove.
What? What was that last word?
Okay, so yes, first up on this week's new releases roundabout, what's coming around the corner, Keith? What's that over there?
Is it a monster? I don't know. What?
That's over the hill.
Oh, whatever. I'm not with the kids. I don't
it's the bus chat. Of it's... games. And on the side of it is Letters from Nowhere. from G5 Entertainment.
Oh, no.
You can pretty much be guaranteed what type of game this is.
Yeah.
You want to guess?
The kind of game I hate.
Hidden Object? Why, yes, it is. it's pretty much every week we get a new G5 game now.
Very sinister postman in the screenshot.
It's because he's delivering letters from nowhere. Yeah. He's a postman from nowhere. It'd be funny, though, if the whole game revolved literally just about a place called Nowhere. Small village, hamlet, you know. Out in the countryside. Unfortunate name. Didn't get their post properly.
Probably is. There must be. We have all the names covered in England.
Embark on a journey filled with unexpected twists and turns, except for the fact you'll be tapping the screen looking for certain types of objects that you've been given a list of previously. ooh, spooky. Right. That's out. I guess it's going to be free, and then, yep, free with in-app purchases to get past the first hour or so. Right, Unstoppable Gorg is also out this week from Featuremark Games, which I believe is the gaming division of the Benchmark makers, who do the Featuremark benchmarks. Benchmark. Unstoppable Gorg. It's a tower defense title. But rather than corridors, you have aliens attack you in the sky around your planet, and you get to put down like satellites, essentially, that act as towers, and you can rotate them around the different orbits.
Have you watched the video?
I have. In fact, if you read my news story, you'd know I'd watched the video, because I asked Lolo to call me.
What?
It's quite attractive, that's all.
I'm liking the style of it, the 50s B-movie.
Yeah,
thing.
50s B-movie.
Very well done.
It's got that story plot elements in the game as well, apparently.
Good. I love tower defense games. You don't?
I hate tower defense games.
Yeah. I might like this.
What's we've probably done this before, but what's wrong with tower defense games, Will?
Don't like them. I don't get them. That's the problem. I do everything right, and I lose, and I don't know why I lose. Oh, I think that's the worst.
You're just bad at them, that's what it is.
No.
If Will ever gets a tower defense game to review, he just puts, I don't like it.
I'm pretty bad at them, but I don't feel that enough of them give you feet. I feel that a lot of them rely on just upgrading their health, not telling you that they've upgraded their health, and then just making it so that, you know, there's no real obvious reason why your towers in one round wins, and then in the next round are suddenly nowhere near powerful enough and you die. And I think 99% of all tower defense games effectively play out like that.
You should play. I can never remember its name. You should play the one I love. What's it called? Kingdom Rush.
I'd rather not. I've wasted too much time on it.
I even downloaded
a few of the PC 3D ones, you know, the action tower defense, thinking, well, it's got a bit of action in it, can't be that bad. But they were awful as well.
Honestly, the whole of my Christmas was spent on iPad playing Kingdom Rush. It's a brilliant game.
Yeah, well, my Christmas.
Even when you lose for literally 2 days in a row on one map, it still keeps coming back. It's amazing.
Oh, I'll be annoyed.
Well, you can play it for free online.
Oh, I don't want to. Don't waste my time on tower defense. Anyway, this one looks nice. Look at the graphics. $2.99 is the price, or otherwise known as $4.99, I think, in dollars. Right, what else is out this week? Sukulubu, which we talked about a bit earlier, which is a lot of money. Jazz, Trump's Journey. Smooth. It's quite an interesting art style. This is who's the developer? I know who the publisher is. It's Bulky Pix.
Eggball.
It looks good. But what is it? Move around New Orleans. Win Lady Quaklet's heart. Create a jazz band. Fight for the birth of jazz.
The art style is very nice.
Yeah, the art style is really good. There's lots of jazz tunes in it. And they are working on an update to correct grammatical error. Well, you know, you might want to correct the one that's in the friggin' update. It's coming very, very soon, guys.
Looks a bit gorillas-like, in fact, the art style. Slightly kind of... got mouths like gorillas. I don't mean the animal. I mean the band.
It's a puzzle platformer, isn't it?
No. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it does look good. That is $1.99 or $2.99 probably. Nico is also out this week. Nico, we did talk about it last week. John was playing it. Related to Habbo Hotel and by Fabrication Games, if I remember rightly.
He's fallen asleep when he was whittling on about something.
To be fair, I tend to do that as well. You ping a little Nico through the forest. It's actually Biko, that song. I did that joke last week. The annoying thing is then Biko gets stuck in my head for ages. So there we go. You flick a little colourful cartoony beast around the landscape, picking up stuff. Well, you don't. Yes, you do. You flick him. There we go. And it's related to Habbo Hotel, so you unlock stuff by playing it. If you are in Habbo Hotel, it's free to download, and it has a £1.49 price in game. So there we go. Time of Heroes. That sounds like awfully like a title someone would use for like a World War II game.
Was a Time of Heroes.
That's the trumpets. I never asked to be put on the front. Listen, Chuck, you just have to take it.
Chuck!
Just even have to take it today as it comes.
Who's Chuck?
You've been watching Wallace and Gromit.
Chuck's the private.
Private Chuck.
Seventh Rifles Division.
60s Coronation Street mode, you're in it.
With Cilla Black.
Anyway, Time of Heroes isn't anything to do with World War II, rather disappointingly. Nor Trumpet Fanfares by Smutterwerk Studios. And it is a new chapter in the Chronicles of Outland.
Oh, good.
I've been waiting for the next chapter.
Yeah, can't wait for the next chapter.
we're being nasty. It looks quite nice. It's a turn-based strategy come RPG game. Death ship from the dot from the shores.
I think it looks very complicated.
There's six powerful heroes, six varieties of units.
Is it from PC this, or is it new?
I'm not sure. Given that they're a German developer, it could well be from the PC, but...
It looks like a PC kind of thing.
What do you mean it looks like a PC kind of thing?
I don't think you'd get on a Steam or something, some random game.
It's got 25 different enemies, 8 to 10 hours playtime. Anyway, it has optional IAPs, apparently, although I can't actually see any on the App Store entry, never mind. And is 69p for a limited amount of time. It's going to go up to $2.99 in dollars or $1.99 in pounds after that. Oh, in about like a day. So if you're, if you're desperate to get it for a cheap price, then I'd get it now. It looks reasonably good. The first reviews have been positive. If you like these sort of games, which I do, so I'll probably check it out. Puzzle Juice is up next. This one's been getting a little bit of traction on Twitter today. It's that weird mixture of Tetris, Scrabble, and Match 3, or Bejeweled, as people just like to call it now. I'm waiting for a reaction.
I'm watching the video. Yeah. I like the font.
What do you think, Matt? Do you like the font?
There was a game quite similar to this recently. Something Tower? Spell Tower? Was it Spell Tower?
Spell Tower. I haven't played Spell Tower. Are you saying it's not...
It's very similar. Hey?
Are you saying it's not a unique concept?
What, spelling words in Tetris form? Oh, no, wait.
Oh, it's slightly different to Spell Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of Match 3 on top.
Okay, I see. Looks alright.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. How much is it? $1.99 or $2.99? Order up to go.
Brilliant.
Next up, we'll be talking... Hold your judgments. Young Matt Sakharov-Gilman. We'll be talking about this a bit later because I've also been playing this. But it is out now for free. Greedy Penguins is the second Tlingo game, the first being Order Up to Go, out this week.
So they've got more than one game.
I know, it's crazy. More than one game in a week. Yes, but Greedy Penguins, it looks like their physics game. You know, the one they always release. A physics puzzler. You've got to help a hungry penguin eat stuff.
I don't like the art style on that. It looks horrible.
Well, it looks very garish, doesn't it?
Mm.
Still, lots of people like these sort of games, so there we go. It's probably going to be a nice polished... I can imagine it being very smoothly animated, polished, well put together.
Fun?
Can any physics puzzler truly be fun?
Yes, of course.
Can they in this post Angry Birds 9/11 world?
Oh yes.
I missed out that story about Kanye West.
I wouldn't worry.
Kanye West talking to Angry Birds developers.
Yeah, if they're talking to him, they really are in trouble.
Right, so that's it for the new releases this week. I think we should go on to the What We've Been Playing fields. Don't you agree?
What have we been playing?
It's not the tune.
Fields.
What we've been playing! Okay. Hello, welcome. It's quite a nice day out here on the What We've Been Playing fields. The swings are a swinging, the slides are a sliding. And Keith is rolling around on the grass.
Naked.
Naked. Unabashed. All the onlookers and young families having picnics nearby. But what have we had? What have we been playing other than on the ground? Well, chaps, I've been playing a little bit of Crash Cops. Crash Cops. But when I say a little bit, I actually genuinely mean a little bit. Oh, Smash Cops. I made this mistake last. Frickin' hell. It's the most...
It's the one that looked good, but was pulled.
It's the one that looked good, but was pulled last week, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's come back onto the App Store.
How is it, Will?
Well, it looks good.
But how is it to play? No?
Well, no, I don't think it's terrible. It's certainly interesting. It's a new approach. You put... I'm trying to drive while I talk, actually. Drive a real car. it's sort of a strange control method where you put your finger behind the car, and that makes it accelerate. and then you move your finger left and right to turn. What the hell is that? No. To turn the car. So it's a little bit odd. I'd say the most annoying thing is that it's got very strict star limit. So I've done 6 missions. I can't unlock the next one until I go back and do them all again. Bastards. But the actual, I mean, the controls work most of the time. It's when the camera spins around 180, when you do like a tight handbrake corner, which is pretty much every corner. It can be a little bit distracting then. And I can imagine on the iPhone it doesn't work as well as on the iPad, because that's what I've been playing it on. But yeah, it doesn't seem too bad. The graphics are nice. The events mainly involve smashing people up off the road. It doesn't seem too bad, but like I say, I've only played about 20 minutes of it so far, so can't really comment much more than that. And the other game I've been playing a lot more of is the one that Matt's going to talk about, so I'm going to turn it over to Matt. Or rather, I'll flip it over to Matt. Huh? And Matt can fry it, yeah? Matt, hello? He can slice this one up, yeah? Matt, say something.
Sliced.
Oh, hello.
There we go. Right.
You can. Oh, whatever. Go on.
Go on. Right. So, order up to go, not with a question mark at the end. Order up to go. Go with 2 question marks.
Yeah. 2 question marks.
Exclamation mark. No, it's like a restaurant management sim, I guess.
It's a time management game.
Time management game, mm-hmm. In a restaurant.
That last part is correct. Sorry, I'll let you get on with it.
Do you want to do it?
No, well, you left me in the lurch just now. I don't know. I don't know if I can trust you, Matt.
I was talking, but yeah. So, it's interesting we were talking about freemium earlier, because essentially it's a freemium game. Yeah? Am I right to say that?
You are allowed to say that, yeah?
Am I allowed to say it? Good, because that's what it is. But it's genuinely really, really good. I think you mentioned it was originally WiiWare, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And essentially what you do is cook food. You start off at a kind of McDonald's-esque...
Burger face,
making face burgers. And you fry up fries and burgers and you peel lettuce and you slice tomatoes and all kinds of things to kind of meet your customers' demands. You get coins, you level up. It's really, really good. As I was saying, like, interestingly, it's probably one of the first really properly fun freemium titles that I've played, to be honest.
It is very good. I mean, it's that proper time management way where it will give you multiple meals to do at once, and then you've got to put the burgers on the grills and go over to them when they're cooked on one side and do the flipping motion to flip them over before they burn and shove the fryer down. And
but this my only worry with it is that people will look at it and think, oh, it's just another like freemium kind of Zynga-esque. You know, one of those games where you're waiting for ages to do things. But that's really the exact opposite of what it is, you know.
It's a time management game. A proper time management game. Not the abusive redirection of the word time management that other people have been trying to use for social games. They're not time management.
No.
But the worry is that people will confuse it for that. Just like reading.
If they are, they're stupid.
They're idiots.
Flipping stupid. And they should be ashamed of their stupidity.
I love time management games.
Time management games are great. This is the game that I played for like about 20 minutes at the Chillingo preview event.
You weren't meant to like it, were you?
I wasn't meant to like it. Apparently it's, you know, Dan said, don't normally like these games, but this one's quite good. And I spent ages playing it, going, yeah!
You should have put it down at the end and said, yeah, that's rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah, don't like it. No, it's really good. I agree with Matt. And it's not too bad in terms of freemium. It's a little bit annoying how it's freemium and ad supported. Yeah, so you have to pay to get rid of the adverts separately from buying gold coins. And it's
actually buying the gold coins, I can't imagine. Well, actually playing the game is fun anyway. So you wouldn't really need to buy the gold coins. You just continue playing the game, you know?
Yeah, I think some of those later restaurants are going to require money. Mm. I've had a look at the price. I mean, the prices on the early stuff are actually quite good. I mean, it will require you to replay restaurants again over and over, but they're actually quite fun to play. And they're always different anyway, so it's not like you're repeating the same thing.
Exactly.
But yeah, the price of the restaurants are like 2,000 silver, which is a lot, considering you get like a few hundred in every gameplay session. So, well, no, that's at most. I think it's more like 50. So, yeah, but at the same time, it is free to download. It is quite fun. And I don't mind popping down a few pounds to get to get extra stuff on that. But that, it's good. It's a good game.
That's what we were talking about earlier. I mean, as long as something's fun, I mean, you're going to pay money for it. So, and that's what it is.
Exactly. It's the Keith mode of freemium, though, that he suggested, where like you can actually, you know, it locks off other parts of the game, but you can play a fun game before you need to decide whether you want to play that bit.
This is how it shall forever be known.
Keithium.
Spread the word.
Keithium is a new form of dangerous material. Found under the Earth's core.
That's his only weakness, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not Keith's only weakness. He produces it. Anyway, Keith.
Hello.
Hello. Have you been enjoying your week this week, today?
What?
What have you been playing?
Well, I haven't been playing anything new. I got to look at the weekend, I got to look at a game by one of our former sponsors, I believe, on this very podcast.
Billy Goats?
Billy Goats from lovely Northern Ireland, who came over to show me their next game, which I assume I can talk about as I'm going to write a preview of it. So I didn't actually check with them whether I could talk about it, but I assume I can, given it's going to go up on the site at some point, I assume. They did Nighty Night last time, which was, what do you call it when you charge towards someone with a
jousting
horse? Jousting. I always forget that word. Yeah, which was quite fun. I quite enjoyed it. I actually hadn't played it until I met them, so I thought I'd give it a go. And I really quite enjoyed it. And the next one is quite different to that. It's called Out Fox, and it's kind of a... You control a fox, and you have to run to pick up eggs and take them back to your pot for your tea. And while you're doing this, various different enemies come out of the farmhouse and chase you around to try and stop you. And the first one is the wife with a knife, and then the farmer himself comes out with a gun, and then a pack of dogs are set on you. So it's kind of like it's in a 3D world, so you're running around getting these eggs and trying to avoid dying to get back to the start, and you go and get another egg and blah, blah, blah. And you can also, you can take out the enemies. You can kind of switch to this first-person view, which is really well done, actually. I was quite impressed with the kind of transition where you then throw eggs at the people to kill them. Eggs kill people if you throw them at people. I don't know if you know that.
Snow yolk. I apologize so much.
Because the studio they're based in 3D animation. The 3D, even though it's still got a way to go apparently in terms of textures, the 3D animation was really smooth. It's a lot better than something by some bigger publishers who put out 3D games, let's say. The fox himself is going to be voiced by, I'm told, is an Irish sports presenter, Jackie Fullerton, who I didn't know, but apparently is quite big over there. So it looks like it's going to be quite a big IP, really. It's kind of very polished and kind of a lot of charm to it. So I was quite impressed. And I got bought coffee. So.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, I like anything after a coffee. I've not paid for.
You know what else I've been playing this week?
What else have you been playing this week, Will?
Everybody's Golf on the Vita, right. But I can't talk about it. It's all in
what the hell's a Vita? It's not an iPhone, is it?
Well, no, I know it isn't, but I just wanted to mention it. Not that I can say anything about what I feel about the game, because I'm embargoed for another, like, couple of weeks.
You don't have any feelings?
No, but I've been playing it all week. Can't say what I feel about the game. Been playing it in my spare time when I didn't need to. But I can't say what I feel about.
That's because you got that Sony PR man around your house with a knife to your throat, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah, he's actually out of the room at the moment. Oh God, he's coming back. Okay, we need to wrap this up. Sorry, chaps. Really quickly. Yeah, no worry. Don't worry about it. Yeah, no, it's the second cupboard's the one with the sugar. Okay, we really need to wind this up. I have been Will Wilson. I thank you all for listening, first of all. I've been Will Wilson. No, it is there. And he's been Keith Andrew.
Well, you did it for me, please.
Say goodbye.
Well, goodbye. Yeah, thank you. Goodbye.
And Matt has also been here with us. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, wow. Cool. I thought your mic wasn't working. You were very quiet again.
I unplugged it and plugged it in again, just in case.
I wonder why you were so impressed with him saying goodbye, though. Wow.
No, I've got a feeling Matt had the microphone issue earlier on, because, yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
No, I'm all right, thanks. Sorry, he's making tea. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you all again next week.